that Mount Sinai event was the Shavuot. We don't have that verse, but if we count the dates, if we look at Passover and we look at that counting, they mikvahed through the Red Sea. They mikvahed through the Red Sea and showed up at Sinai. So it's known. It's a known thing that if we look at that, the closest feast that we could have that fits that timeline is Shavuot. That's at Mount Sinai. So that's something that is a significant thing. The period called the Omer begins the day following the Sabbath during the Passover or Pesach and continues unto Shavuot or Pentecost. The Torah commanded the 7 weeks to be counted from the time of the offering of the Omer, as it says. And we'll read that because remember, there's no date for the Shavuot. There's no on this day of the on the fourth month or fifth month. Or, there's no date there. Then on the 15th day, does Passover. It's on the first day of the month. On the 10th, you take the lamb. On the 14th, he tells us all of that. But on this particular feast, you have to do what in order to get it right? You got to count. So keep that in mind. Leviticus chapter 23, verse number 15. It says, and you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. When? The morrow after the Sabbath. From the day that you brought the sheave of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. So the sheave of the wave offering comes. That's the barley harvest. It's brought in. And then we count. And then it brings in the wheat harvest. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall be the number, shall you number 50 days. So it tells us to number 50 days. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto Yahweh. You're offering that. Amen. Verse 17, and you shall bring out of your habitation. From where? Your habitation, 2 wave loaves of 2 tenths deal. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto Yahweh. Let me thank God for that. Yes. Thank you, Lord. This is a memorial, remembrance of what He's asked us to do. And we're thankful we get to do that. Amen? Verse 21, we're just going to skip there because I want to show you something here. And you shall proclaim. The Shavuot is a time to proclaim on the self same day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. And you shall what? Proclaim on the self same day. How many come ready to proclaim? Well, we're going to learn about that. On the self same day, it's a holy convocation. You shall do no civil work therein. It shall be a statue forever in all your dwellings throughout all your generations. If you want to know why we're still doing it, there it is. Because of this ritual of counting, the period between Passover, Pesach, and Pentecost, Shavuot came to be known as the Omer. In fact, Shavuot does not have a fixed calendar date in the Bible, but rather falls on the day after the completion of the Omer count. That is the 50th day after the Omer offering is brought. Shavuot is also known as the day of proclamation. How many of you know we got to make some, we got to proclaim? Shavuot has been designated as the day that Yahweh proclaimed His Torah. That's when He proclaimed His Torah. The word went forth. We can talk about that. Hopefully I can get on that deeper in the morning. What does that mean? A question came up. Philip asked me a question this week. And I've been thinking about that question, about when the Lord speaks, what language does He speak in? So I've been thinking about that. What language does He speak in? Well, you look at it and see what happened, because at Sinai, at Sinai and Shavuot, the Lord's speaking, and they're hearing, and they're all hearing, and they're all understanding. So my short answer, because I've studied some of it, to Philip was, is when God speaks, He speaks in a way where it's not so much His language, but the miracle is when He speaks, it's in all senses of the person is activated to receive. When He speaks, you can smell. You can see it. You can hear it. You can taste it. There ain't no mistake, it's God speaking. They knew it. It's not when God speaks that, somebody translate. There was no translation. You heard Him in your language. Where does that sound familiar at? Acts 2 says, and they heard them in their own language. I'd say that's the same speaker. The parallels are amazing. I'm going to try to get into that more tomorrow if we can. It was on Shavuot that the Talmudim, the disciples of Yeshua, proclaimed the good news in Jerusalem, and 3,000 Jewish souls were added to those who believed in Yeshua. How many were lost at Mount Sinai? The Bible says 3,000 souls perished at Mount Sinai. 3,000 were added at Pentecost. The parallels are amazing. Today, those of us who believe and do what Elohim has commanded are to likewise proclaim Him. How many want to proclaim Him? Shavuot is a day to proclaim the victory that we have in Yahweh. That's why when you're singing, you sing with motivation. You're excited about those words. Because you're proclaiming what you have received because of what Yahweh has delivered. It's an absolute amazing thing. Believers in Messiah Yeshua are to function as priests in the world today, proclaiming the excellency of His name. We're to function in that way. We are to come into His courts on His appointed days, at His appointed times, each with a psalm, a teaching, and a revelation, a prophecy. How many want these things? So, well, you know, it don't work like that for me. It can. There's no exclusion here. He said, in desire to earnest gift, but He said, I would all of you prophesy. So these things can happen in your life. Through the outpouring of Yahweh's Spirit on Shavuot, Yahweh restored the priesthood to those who have trusted in Yeshua as Master and Messiah. And this is what He restored. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 1 says, wherefore, lay aside all malice. What do you got to do with malice? Lay it aside. And all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking. Now, He's saying to lay it aside because that's the stuff people was carrying around. They were carrying it around. He says, lay it aside. And this stuff, it's like hitchhikers. You know, hitchhiking in America is different than hitchhiking in a third world country. Let me explain that. In America, you passing in your vehicle and you might pass somebody doing this. What are they doing? They're asking for a ride. That's the hitchhiking sign, right? And you can stop if you want. And there might be 10, 12 people standing there. Maybe so. Not in Burris, so you know you might see one person. I never forget the first time Pastor KB and them come to America, they wanted to know where all the people were. Because when you're in their country, the people everywhere. They're walking all over, bikes, rickshaws, just crowded. They didn't know if they had people here. So where's the people? They here. The people got their own house. They live in their house, and they got their own vehicles, and they're driving in their vehicles. They don't walk the roads like there. Well, anyway, you stop, and the guy that's got his thumb out, he'll jump in. If you stop in a third world country, they're all getting in. That's the truth. I've seen them hanging out, holding on, just clinging to the side like that. We've seen them. The bus stops, the seats don't matter in a bus in a third world country. That's a suggestion. We suggest you only put 40 in this bus. That's fine. We put in 80. They're on the top. They're clinging to the sides, going down the road at 60 miles an hour. We've seen this with our own eyes. We've seen them hit the brakes and people fly off the top of the bus with a goat, you know, holding a goat. That's what this stuff will do. The moment, my point is this, if you don't do something about it, you'll get unwanted passengers in your life. Unwanted malice, guile, hypocrisy, and envy, and all evil speaking, it'll be just cling to you. The moment you slow down, instead of keep going, it'll jump on. The moment you pause to try to give attention to something God had already set you free from, be careful, because the rest of the stuff that you already overcame is going to come back and overtake you. There ain't no time to slow down. This is why he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. What happens when you desire the sincere milk of the word? You grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that Yahweh is gracious. So if you in that bracket, you have tasted that he's gracious, then you are the person that can have this happen to you. So what do you got to do? You got to let them out. Let out the malice and the guile and the hypocrisy and the envies and all evil speaking. We don't have room for that. And as newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that Yahweh is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of Elohim and precious. How many of you know that this living stone, this Yeshua HaMashiach, he was not accepted by men, but let me tell you, Yahweh picked him. Chosen of Elohim, precious. And that's what we are. Ye also. Everybody say ye also.
Ye also.
Say me also.
Me also.
Me also, as living stones are built up a spiritual house. Living stones built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to Elohim by Yeshua Messiah. Isn't that amazing? If you want to know what Shavuot done or was set in place to do, that's it. Now, some people say, well, I'm glad I was born in this generation. Well, you got to be careful, because we'll start thinking with a dispensationalism mindset. And you don't have to kind of choose dispensationalism. It's a kind of automatic, because that's the known thing. We're in the dispensation now of the Holy Spirit. Well, I can tell you, Holy Spirit was released, the Ruach HaKodesh was released at Mount Sinai. To prove that, Joshua and Caleb received that Spirit. And when they faced the enemy, they didn't let the stuff come on them. They knew that they were in power with a different spirit, and they saw what God said as promises that were yea and amen. What does the song say? Yes and amen. They knew that. If he said it, yes and amen. I so be it. That's what I'm going with. I'm going with what he said, and I agree with what he said. It's going to happen in my life. This is what's been restored to us because they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Till they all died off. Thousands of them died because they couldn't receive the promise. Isn't that something? Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture. I like this part. Wherefore also. When he starts wherefore also, that ought to be a good indication you should not stop reading. It goes with what you just read. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. How many know that Yeshua HaMashiach is that precious cornerstone? What's the cornerstone for? Well, the cornerstone is where everything's measured from. It's where everything's measured from. If you want to get it right, you're going to have to measure yourself from Yeshua HaMashiach and what he did. He's the cornerstone. It's fixed. It doesn't move. It's stable. You pull that line from that and you square up with the cornerstone. You know what the church world wants today? We want to somehow, we want to have Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, kind of just fit somewhere within our program. What are we measuring by? Ourselves? And then somehow we fit him into that program. That's not how the scripture says it. He's the precious cornerstone. We measure from that. Amen? Now, it says, verse 7, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. To you which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner. Not everybody likes what you believe in. Not everybody's for it. Verse 8, and a stone of stumbling. That's what he becomes. A stone of stumbling. And a rock of offense. What? Yeah, a rock of offense. That's what he becomes. You say the truth of what Yeshua said, what he believed, what he taught, his principles, and to some people it's a rock of offense. And they can't believe you just said that. You start quoting what was said by Yeshua, you're quoting him, and it offends people who are saved. That say, I'm saved. They're offended by that. That's a rock of offense. You ought to bring them to that next time. When they get, you bring them, I'm so glad. Let me take you to Peter. I want to show you something. Let me tell you what you're just walking in right here. You're in the rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word. What did they stumble at? The word. It's the word. It's not you. It's because you said the word. You spoke the word. And let me tell you. But once you speak the word, it becomes you. But you, it wasn't you that initiated it. What initiates it is the word. Same thing happened to us. When you're reading the word and conviction comes, it doesn't matter if the preacher, I can preach the word, right? And if I'm preaching the word, initially, it's the word that causes this rock of offense to come in your life. But if you don't settle on that, guess who's at fault after that? Immediately, the pastor. He said something I didn't like. Isn't that something? Same thing with Yeshua. He said it. It got him. And then all of a sudden, what he said got him, it was him. We don't like him. I can tell you, I've been in that spot before. Watch this. What stumbles them? At the word. Being disobedient. Notice that. What are they? Disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed. How many of you know that you can be appointed to a ministry, a calling, and all those things, but disobedience, you'll never walk in that. Verse number 9, the key verse here. But ye are a chosen generation. I mean, thank God that you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. He called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isn't that amazing? So when Yahweh is speaking at Mount Sinai, all the senses are engaged. You can smell what he's saying. You can taste what he's saying. You can see what he's saying. You can hear what he's saying. That's what happens when you release yourself into the Word of God. All of a sudden, everything is ignited inside of you. All the sensory realm that you possess is ignited, and you feel like there's something about it. You'll never forget those moments. That's what he wants for us. Amen? Well, I'm going to stop right there. That's a good enough spot. I'm going to take you on some more of this journey in the morning. But we're going to stop right there because we got some bread to cut, to slice open, slather some of that butter on it, drip some of that honey. Oh, by the way, pastor's honey. I brought some. Charlotte's claiming the game right now. I ain't seen her in a bee suit yet. You can have it. All right. I bet a marks. But anyway, we're going to go out there. We're going to pray. I don't remember. Sweet turtles, honey. I said, I ain't ever seen turtles have honey yet. Yeah. The only thing happened to a turtle in Cajun land, it goes in a soft pecan. So we're going to pray. We're going to go out and just in fellowship and enjoy ourselves. I want to say to everybody here, thank you so much for coming out and celebrating Shavuot in remembrance of what our Father's done for us. We appreciate Him. So we thank God for all of you. Appreciate all that the Lord is doing. So we're going to just thank Him. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for allowing us to come and bring an offering to You. We pray that this offering has been received. Lord, we just want to be obedient to Your word. And we know, Lord, that as we acknowledge the request that You make to us to come and spend time with You in celebration of this feast of weeks, acknowledging that You are the provider, You have given everything to us, You cut covenants with us, and You are seriously and telling us, Lord, that You want us. You want to be our God, and we want to be Your people. Help us to see this. Help us to know it. And so, Lord, I pray that You receive our gifts. You receive it today. Lord, it becomes something that will be an honor. And we thank You for it. And we pray Your blessings upon each one that's here. Those that couldn't come, we pray Your hand of blessing on them. God, healing is coming to people. Victory's there. The move of Your Spirit, the move of the Ruach HaKodesh in the lives of Your people is coming. We thank You for it. We honor You. We give You all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't God good?